Right, so this is take two because I fucked up the last one. But welcome to DPIY with where DIY isn't what we're good at, but it definitely is how we make our podcast. I can't believe we're even having a take two. I'm one of your hosts, Jake, and I definitely have a face for radio. And with me is my co-host Mr. Verano.
Who possibly or possibly doesn't have a face for I get mixed signals about this. So, I'm gonna stick with that. But yeah, it's
wishy-washy bullshit. Just make a declaration.
fine. It's a face for TV. Just TV, not movies. All right, just TV sitcom. But it's probably been a couple weeks or so for us. If you're listening, I don't know how well you keep up with us, but yeah, it's been fun.
Well, you know, hey, I am seeing consistent numbers out of billions of people in this world. We get just above 10. So you know what? I'll take it. And I love every single one of you. But, you know, we do have people out there. So thank you for keeping on. And
do keep trying to spread the word. We would very much appreciate it. We are trying to make things. Yeah, definitely got to get in
we'll
on
get
that.
there. It's all right. But before then, and you know, anyway, I do think we used to complain about how we wanted to get more episodes out, but I don't know. I'm fine with this monthly schedule. This week or this month, and actually, we don't have an issue prepared, and the reason why is because I am still reading through the event for our little five takeaways thing. It's going to be five very general takeaways because I've been reading Secret Wars since the announcement of a Secret Wars movie way, way down the line.
Yeah, I actually did see about that as well. I'm excited. I haven't, but I know Black Adam came out. I want to see it. Black Panther's not too long after that, and they are ready. There's a lot that's been talking about movies coming down the pipeline. I'm excited. I didn't get to see the trailer for the Ant-Man one, and
I haven't watched it yet. I think someone sent it to me.
I know it's on YouTube. Like, I need to look it up.
I did watch the trailer for the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special. That looks fun.
Oh,
Looking
I
forward
gotta get.
to you'll like it. I'm looking forward to seeing the legendary Kevin Bacon in
Really?
Guardians. Yeah.
I thought it was Bacon, not Bacon.
No, no, no. It rhymes with Macon, like Macon, Georgia. But
No, I know. I want to say it fancy and stupid.
But yeah, so Secret Wars, I know everyone who listens, of course, knows the 1980s story, which would be easy to do because in that one, Iron Man wasn't Tony Stark, so they wouldn't have to have Robert Downey Jr. back to have an Iron Man. But I do think they're probably going to rely more on, judging from how they're dealing with multiverses and timelines and incursions, sounds way more like the more modern Secret Wars that came out in 2015. And the thing about that one was, that was like DC has a history of throwing spaghetti at the wall, and then whatever sticks at the next crisis becomes canon. Secret Wars was Marvel's crisis. Like, the incursions ended everything but Earth 616, the main Marvel universe, and Earth 1610, the ultimate universe that was started in around 2000, 1998 to 2000, somewhere in there. But it's massive. It was a change in the entire status quo. Doom becomes essentially God and takes the power of the Beyonders to create Battle World. Basically does what the Beyonder did, but tells no one and becomes everyone's like benefactor, protector who lives amongst them. And I've already read the main storyline. That was really good. I'm just going through all the side stuff, and it's everything, everything, the whole status quo changed because they could pick and choose for a short time which alternate universes writers wanted to write about. So you're getting like stories where there's I think there's one where there's it's just all different versions of Wolverine fucking killing each other and getting pissed off at the one who found inner peace.
Of course. All of them are just hateful.
And like it's so all over the place, and I'd say I'm probably two-thirds of the way through at this point. So all that being said, we held off on, you know, writing one of our recaps this week. We don't have another issue of Cable and Deadpool for you. What we do have is every fucking thing that happened this month, because, you know, it was a pretty eventful month for comics, and why wouldn't you come to someone who's talking about it 3 weeks after it happened to hear it? But so speaking of that, the first thing is Deadpool 3. Did you watch both the trailers for that, or the, you know, little fan videos?
I saw the little quick interview they did portion where Ryan Reynolds is just sitting on the couch and Hugh Jackman just walks by. I meant to look at the other one, but I still found it funny. And those two, I think, are hysterical together.
Oh, you should have seen the second one, because after the first one, there were a bunch of people going, but he died in Logan. How can that happen? So they had to make it explicit and be like, okay, so Logan happens in 2029.
Yeah.
It happens in the future. Like how in Terminator, things happen in the future. They haven't happened yet, except for now that we've lived past the year in the future that it happened, it kind of didn't happen, but, you know, that was the future. So they're like, we're going to be set right after, you know, Deadpool 2, which happened actually in the past. So Logan can still be around. And so they make that explicitly clear. And then they start talking about the movie in specifics, but the, one of the more popular Wham songs comes on, but I don't know Wham that well. So
I only know two things of Wham, so I wouldn't be able to tell you either.
Well, but the thing is, the joke is that both movies had sort of Wham theme songs.
I mean, they're good songs for his
large part, like Careless Whisper and stuff.
Yeah, not for his montages and Deadpool. Yeah, it's hysterical because it doesn't fit at all. But
that's what they did, was they referenced that, and like Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman are supposedly telling you all the details of the plot, but you can't hear it at all. And you know, but basically, anyone who's been any one of our 10 regular listeners knows that for ages I've been saying that Disney's pulling a hoodwink on us, you know. So it appears by that announcement that I am happy to be wrong.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, well, shit, I like Deadpool 1 and 2. I just watched them again. And, you know, because the thing about these comic book movies, what's nice is if you read more and more of the comics, you start to see some of the more subtle things that they included, because they do that's what's great about all of these movies, DC and Marvel alike, is I enjoy the little fan service shit. So if you didn't like, you know, Dawn of Justice because Batman doesn't do this, or Superman shouldn't have done that, or blah, 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 this shouldn't have been that, I don't care, because, you know, I loved it when he talked about when the paper was founded in 1938, and I'm sitting there telling the person who's not as much of a nerd as me next to me, that's when Action Comics 1 came out. And they're like, shut up, I don't care, watch the movie. So, you know, that's what I like in those movies.
Of course you do. You like the most random stuff there. But all right.
I do. It's, you know, probably annoying to everyone else. So anyway, speaking of that, let's jump topics, because I brought up a DC movie. Let's talk about the Appointment.
Huh?
Did you hear about this?
No, I was about to ask you if you finished watching She-Hulk.
I did finish watching She-Hulk, but I want to jump to James Gunn and the DCU.
Oh, by the way, yeah.
Official announcement. James Gunn. So, you know, it's no secret. DC has been looking for someone to sort of be It's kind of crazy. Kevin Feige's got this massive fan following, and so DC has been making it their mission to find someone to do his job for their movies, to sort of be the face of whatever comes out. And James Gunn has signed up and signed on. And one of the first things he did was make an announcement that, you know, some reporter called it the DCEU in some article and it stuck. He's not going to call it that. He's simplifying it. You got the MCU. He's not hiding from the fact that that's kind of the inspiration for this. But, you know, you got the MCU, and now you got the DCU, the Marvel Comics universe, and the Detective Comics universe. And to be honest, okay.
I mean, yeah, that makes sense. But no, I did see that. I was like, I didn't even know what the hell he was supposed to be for. Detective Comics Entertainment Universe?
It was, yeah, before it was Detective Comics Extended Universe, or DCEU, because that's what DC stands for, is Detective Comics.
No, that part I got. I didn't know what the hell the E was.
Yeah, and so, you know, he's just taking out the E, because he's like, that wasn't something that our team came up with, and our team's going to call it this, so you can call it this. And I think most people are just going to be like, all right, whatever. Especially because in the age of payola, AT&T is a much bigger company than Disney. So, you know, I love how people point to Rotten Tomatoes, but when you go to those critics' fan accounts, they're like, oh yeah, look at this awesome free swag bag I got when I went to the premiere episode or premiere of the movie. And it's like, oh, gee, and you don't want to talk shit about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, DC or AT&T can pay for much more amazing swag bags. And, you know, in the age of troll farms, are we really going to claim that that big corporations can't have troll farms either? Gaming the system has always been the system. Anyway, that's my conspiratorial side. So whatever. Congratulations to James Gunn. He'll have a lot of money at his back to do his job and do his job well. So I'm looking forward to what DC comes out with. You said it yourself. I still have to get some time to see Black Adam. Since I heard you heard about the surprise cameo, right?
I did. Didn't care for it. Thought it was stupid. But
what?
You know how much I care less for stupid Superman.
No, but it's not just about the character this time. It's about what that represents in terms of publicly placed out there commentary from the company. The company was like, all right, we're cutting Batman and Superman, and we're going with Flash, Aquaman, and Wonder Woman, and we're going to start this whole new thing because the previous chapter only kind of worked but didn't really work that well. And now with all this Ezra Miller bullshit, first off, I heard they were trying to recast Barry Allen. I don't think that's the way to go. I think they should just have Ezra Miller, you know, go the way of Barry Allen in 1985 in the Crisis on Infinite Earths, and just have him, you know, burn himself out saving the world or saving the multiverse.
And have some come in.
And then bring in Wally West and cast a Wally West. So, you know, that's the way I would go, but they can do what they want. Sounds like they might be recasting Barry Allen and bringing, you know, Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill back. And this Henry Cavill being in a cameo in Black Adam speaks to that. And so, you know, it's one of those things. It's kind of like when Disney and Sony split for a bit, and then AT&T bought out Time Warner, and they went, oh shit, let's make a Spider-Man movie together. So, you know, it's one of those big, big backtrack things, this time only narratively, but, you know, still means a lot for, you know, if you're trying to find foreshadowing of future plans.
But even so, for me, no, could care less about Superman. Just stop it. Go with everybody else. I could care less. The only thing I find interesting, though, is that apparently I was reading contract clause for, I think it's Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Jason Statham, and someone else. I think Dave Bautista. Maybe not. But that for their contracts and movies, they're not supposed to lose fights.
They're not supposed to what?
Any fight. They want to look strong. Which is funny because the article was saying that Dwayne The Rock Johnson should really let that go because his character is not always going to win. And it would intrigue more that he would lose to then, you know, have another sequel come up.
Well, that's why they're not having him fight Superman.
Yeah, they're trying to be creative around it because he's not going to let that contract, that part of his contract go.
I think he would for the right story. Like, he's been a wrestler. He's done the job before, you know? Like,
I know, but
I think it's in his contract for his image in movies, but, like, if there was something where a villain needed to appear strong, clearing out house before, you know, the big penultimate shit goes down, you know, like Thanos fucking snapping Loki's neck and you know, destroying Thor. You know, I think he'd do it like Chris Hemsworth did.
Yeah. But I want to see it. It looks interesting. But yeah, I think he would. And I'm just hoping. I'm hoping to see more. So Aquaman 2 is in the works. There's a lot of movies in the works.
And the thing is, sorry.
No, I was about to say I agree that they shouldn't necessarily redo Barry Allen, but yeah, just while he was. Kind of unfortunate that that happened because there's more than they could have done for Barry Allen, but it is what it is at this point.
Just cut him. They can cast a Wally West and everyone, because right now they're appealing to the audience of us, and we grew up with Wally West and John Stewart. So don't worry about Hal Jordan. We know the origin of the Green Lanterns. Like we grew up with John Stewart in Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. So we want John Stewart again. We grew up with Wally West because Barry Allen was dead. Until like the next generation comes around, we don't give a like. You can cut Barry Allen. That's okay. The Flash is a cool TV show, but I don't give a fuck.
I'm a little different to that. I like Barry Allen. I like this story because I actually read a lot more before I got introduced to Wally West. And for Green Lantern, I'm not gonna say no for John Stewart, but I also grew up more reading Hal Jordan and Guy Gardner. Not Guy Gardner. Damn it, who's the other one?
Kyle Rayner.
Thank you, Kyle Rayner.
That's okay. They could bring in Kyle Rayner too. John Stewart and Kyle Rayner would be, I would care about that so much more than Hal Jordan.
No, for me, John Stewart and Kyle Rayner, if they go more into their stories and proceed with those two as Green Lanterns and bring in the others, it's fine. They can honestly skip over the first two. Well, three, if you count Alan Scott.
Well, Alan Scott's not in the Green Lantern Corps, though. He's kind of auxiliary.
No,
Stalker
he's the Green Lantern. Just
yeah,
not in the
Jade Corps. Was actually in the Corps.
Yeah, she was.
Until she, you know, was refrigerated for Kyle Rayner. And then brought back.
Yeah.
To be a complication in Kyle Rayner's relationship with Soren Ignatiu.
Yes.
But see, there's so much mythology in the Green Lantern stuff that they could do so much that doesn't affect Hal Jordan at all. And I would be okay with that. And that's what I'm saying is like, I know they are trying to appeal to that, but if they're really trying to appeal, most are going to have more of a superficial, I watched Justice League, that was the Green Lantern I remember type deal.
They are, and that's how most of them got introduced. But yeah, I mean, they could honestly go further down the line and eventually do the Spectrum Corps. They could easily do the mythology on each. I mean, I doubt people would care, but they could do some of the higher liked ones, like the Blue Corps, the Sapphires, I guess, and also the Red
Sapphires.
Yeah, the Red and the Yellow.
So you had the Red Lanterns, Atrocitus' group, that was Rage, Red for Rage. Then Orange Lantern was Larfleeze, and Larfleeze, that was avarice or greed, and he didn't let people be his lanterns. He would kill them and steal their essence. and then make them his lantern constructs, and then they would be lanterns that way. And then there was yellow was fear, and that was Sinestro, and Sinestro, the Sinestro core. And then blue, in the middle, balancing it out was
blue was hope.
Well, blue was hope, but green was first. Green was willpower, and that was the heroic. They were the balance of the whole thing on the spectrum. And then the next one was blue, that was hope, and they were the just the Blue Lantern core. After blue was indigo, they were compassion, and they actually had a cool reveal of their story.
Theirs was really cool. I liked it. That was interesting for sure.
And then after that was violet, which was the star sapphires, and they were love. And the reason why the two on the end were on the end was because rage and love were the ones that overtake people most and make them do things they wouldn't normally do. And so the nature of those two is meant to take over the person. And that explains sort of, because Carol Danvers.
Carol Ferris.
Carol Ferris is,
She's
had some villainous times in Hal Jordan's past. And so it was meant to explain sort of that sort of, you know, love can be very, very great and they can do great things, but then it can also take over people and cause them to do very bad things. And so they had some comics where that was the case. So that's why they were on the end. The next ones also overtake, but compassion was interesting because they were all like the worst type of person on their world, and the compassion was the ring trying to show them a way to be better. And so, like, at one point in a story, they lose their connection. And when it's available, the main Indigo Lantern, Indigo One, is like, can you please give me the ring back? It was the one chance I had to be, like, good.
So yeah.
That's pretty cool. And then, like, there were certain interchanges between rings. The Red Wing ring burned away things that it touched, that its constructs touched. And then the yellow ring could drain the green ring, but the blue ring of hope could overpower a green ring and make it twice as strong, but also would only work offensively if a green ring was around. And the reasoning for that was like, fear can really sap your will, but hoping for something can give you willpower, and willpower is the only thing that will make hope a reality. You know, so that was like kind of the point of their interchange. And so that was cool how they wrote that in. So I would love it if they actually get this Green Lanterns thing off the ground, if they had some of the other Lantern cores in there. But they could also do a space horror show. there's a lot of possibilities.
Yeah, there is. But yeah, no, the mythology there, there's a lot they can do. And eventually, hopefully.
Yep.
All right. So, you talked about before we went on a long
one. Oh, you liked it.
I know.
Yeah. So the thing we were going to talk about that I'm going to hijack again, speaking of someone who's connected to James Gunn, the Mario trailer came out. Did you watch that?
I heard about it. I didn't get to watch it, but I've heard mixed towards it, but I do need to see it.
And what is the most common bad review you've heard about that trailer?
Someone being Italian when they're not.
Or someone not using a stereotypical Italian voice. The first thing I heard when I saw the trailer was, he speaks it's just Chris Pratt in Mario's face. And I swear to God, he couldn't sit in his house right for people. Like he people could take a picture of him sitting on the couch and say that he's doing it wrong. I mean, if he did a fucking it's-a-me type voice, people would be like, how dare he? That's so insulting to Italians. He's not Italian. That's cultural appropriation. And as a quarter Italian, which sounds so stupid, I don't care.
You know who could have done it better? In my mind, Santino Marella.
But then you don't get the joy of his unibrow.
It doesn't matter.
Yes,
he's an Italian. He'd have done the best acting for it, and it would have worked.
Yes, but he doesn't. He could have, but he's busy. Let's just say that. They were never going to look at him. You know that.
He can do it.
What I'm saying is Chris Pratt couldn't take a shit in his own house without somebody telling him he's doing it wrong.
That's true.
The trailer looks interesting. My son's excited to see it. He loves Mario, and I really, as long as the fan of Mario is okay with it, I don't care what the internet wants to say. I don't. Screw him. So speaking of screwing the internet, let's get to the actual topic you were trying to get to. She-Hulk.
Yes, and it's, yeah. I forgot we were going back to that, honestly. I liked it overall for what it was. The ending was a little messy to me, but I was feeling they were doing that on purpose.
I really liked 90% of this show. It didn't even take me out of it that this was another example of the stories being so relevant to the time period, or at least so in the minds of whatever's going on at that time, that you know, both companies come out with something extremely similar. So I didn't even mind that this whole Hulk King thing was basically the Riddler from, you know, the Batman movie a few months ago. It was so different in tone that it made it so that I was like, they make the same point. I'm cool with it. I like how they did it different. Maybe they ran out of CGI money. Maybe they were just trying something different, because I guess it was all CGI anyway, but the last episode, it didn't resonate.
That's what I'm saying. It just seemed like messy. I can agree with it. I think they might have ran out of something around there, but overall, they were going. I didn't care for it.
Right, that's just it. It's not that it
Scar and everything else. I don't know. I was like, all right, cool, but that's nowhere in the story. Why are you just throwing it in? That's or whatever.
Well, I think it really spoke to the way the comics usually happen, but it's not that I'm trying to be some kind of purist or even talk down about it. I think it was an excellent show, so I'm gonna say it that way.
I
don't
want to
sit there and shit on a show that I liked too much. I just, the last part, it was an interesting direction to go.
No,
well within the right to go that way.
It wasn't. I liked the show for most of it. Just the ending, I was like, oh. No, why would you do that? But
I also find it interesting that
I hope they do a season two. It should be more interesting.
Oh, I don't think that's the last we're going to see of She-Hulk. I think she's going to show up in a lot of places. I hate these bullshit memes where they'll take like, I mean, they're so fucking sexist and racist. There's these memes that are out. Like, I saw one where it was Anthony Mackie's Captain America, Jane Foster, Thor, Yelena Belova, Black Widow, Tatiana Sanley's She-Hulk, and I'm trying to, and it was one other, I think it might have been, I can't remember who the last one was, because I saw it so long ago and it annoyed the crap out of me. Oh, it was Kate Bishop's Hawkeye, and I was, or what's her name? I used everyone else's real name. Who played her? Oh, God. Was it Haley Steinfeld or something like that?
I didn't really get into her name.
All right. But so anyway, I hate that meme because it implies like, oh, look at where the direction they're going. It's all women and diversity. And it's like, even if it was, who cares? That's not a bad direction to go. But the other part of it is like, that's totally not the direction they're going. The only two that might show up on the Avengers are Anthony Mackie's Captain America and Tatiana Maslany's She-Hulk, because they actually were Avengers. So in the comics at the same time. So it makes sense. But like Yelena Belova has been announced for the Thunderbolts team that we didn't really care for because it's all just the spies and none of the powers that the Thunderbolts had. When it does, it's kind of like limited.
The poster does seem interesting looking, but yeah, you're right. I'll be,
it's kind of underwhelming.
I still want to see it regardless.
Yeah, but then Jane Foster's dead. She went to Valhalla. If you watch the movie, we're not ruining anything. We've already talked about it, so you've already heard it from us anyway. She died in the movie. She died. That's why she went to Valhalla.
And if you hear me, if you heard it, I hope she stays there, character-wise. Just leave her dead. Stop it.
They may bring her in for a cameo, but there's no, like, this is the direction they're going with Thor. The most important line in that Thor movie was when they said, it was right before the Guardians cameo, when he said, so Thor sat and waited for someone to say, hey, Thor, we need you to help us in this battle. And then Chris Pratt goes, hey, Thor, we kind of need you to help us in this battle. And then he does it. And then so after that, he's just going to be like bopping. Like what they're implying is he's going to be raising this kid. He's going to be busy doing that. Like, you can, if you want, if you show any interest, they'll make a Thor Raising the Kid movie. But if not, Thor and the Kid will probably show up in the next big crossover. And that's how it'll happen. So it gives Chris Hemsworth freedom to make other movies in the meantime. And he can come back to Thor when he's ready to, because he has fun doing Thor. So it's like he can come back to Thor when he's ready to have that fun.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a lot they can still go with it. And yeah, you said raising the kid and showing more of the future. Yeah, there's stuff they can do for sure.
And then, like, you know, they did cameo Ares. He shows up in the Avengers, so maybe that's the direction they go. His plan to, you know, fuck with Thor is to supplant him, and then that culminates in an after Avengers movie. You know, that could be the way they go. But anyway, so the other parts of this meme, you know, Haley Steinfeld's Kate Bishop. She's already earmarked. They've introduced way, way too many young Avengers not to try that. You got Kate Bishop's Hawkeye. You've got Stature showed up. Eli Bradley, the Patriot, showed up. Wiccan and Speed have showed up. There are others that I'm forgetting. You just got so many young Avengers that it's impossible that they're not eventually going to have that show up in some way. So like that meme just annoys me. She-Hulk was all right. She-Hulk was fun to watch, and don't, like, what we're trying to say is we didn't connect with the final episode and the way it ended, but you might. So if you haven't seen it yet, go ahead and watch it. Give it a try.
Yeah.
You know, it was fun. For the most part. And I love the yellow costume Daredevil. I love the fun Daredevil. And I love the fact that they're totally going with it. Daredevil and She-Hulk had a relationship in the comics. They have it in the MCU too.
And cool. I actually find that a really cute relationship. I do hope they eventually go back to his burgundy costume because I love that more.
Oh, they probably will when they do his show.
Yeah, but seeing his older yellow and red, I was like, old school. I like it.
I think they did that for the cameo. I think when they do his show, when he's back in Hell's Kitchen and they're trying to do something more, you know, of a, like, because She-Hulk, like most of her comics, they have done the traditional Thor horror comics with her too, but most of her comics are more, to differentiate herself from her cousin, more comedy based. And so it has a lot of comedy in it. It has a lot of lighthearted humor. And I think they did a good job of throwing that in. I think they did it. Good job of being kind of funny and serious at the same time. So, all right. And last topic we have, which has nothing to do with the rest of them. Do you watch the Halloween movies?
No. It's just not my thing.
I can find so many podcasts full of people who watch them. Nobody around me watches them. I saw Halloween Ends and just all the people talking about it. I have a bone to pick with all these complaints. The one thing I liked was one of the podcasts I listened to that were really shitting on it admitted that their take is entirely subjective, and I could hear that they were coming at it from a overall, like, slasher movie fandom, and But as a fan of just simply like the first two Halloween movies as like a template for what became the slasher genre, they were more serious because they like when Jason gets tongue in cheek, when Nightmare on Elm Street, when Freddy is joking, like that all started with that movie that came out in 78. And so that's what these last three were about. They had John Carpenter involved, and you know, they were sort of connecting to the earliest movies and overwriting everything else that came along, which Halloween has a tradition of doing. But I thought this one was really I didn't expect it to be as much as a narrative story, because you don't usually get that in a slasher flick. Like this was the characters had nuance. They had reasonings for what they did and why they did it. Even Michael Myers with his simple, he still never talks. And so his simple reasoning is just, I'm getting to my family to eventually kill them. And that's the person, you know, he does, you know, that's the final battle. And you know, most people when they watch these movies, the killers become iconic, and that's I think why people didn't realize that this was going to end with, you know, the ending that Laurie Strode wanted, because she was meant to be the hero of that movie. So, you know, if you don't like Laurie Strode, you're not going to like the way the movie ends. But I thought it was fascinating. At the end, all the symbolic things they did. The tongue-in-cheek references that you know I like.
Yeah. Nah, didn't watch them. I, early on, as a kid, I saw It and Chucky, like, between ages 5 and 7, so it ruined it for me. Anything?
You saw Chucky way too early.
Of course I did, but my cousins didn't Chucky. Think that.
I can't stand. I agree with Dee Snider. I was watching. Oh my god! I was like in my middle and high school years when all that. You know, I love the '90s. I love the '80s. I love the '70s. Best week ever. Shit was coming out on VH1. I was watching all of it, and there was one time when they were talking about the Chucky movies, and Dee Snider said it best when he was like, "I couldn't fucking get into that. It's a doll. Step on it. You've won."
Yeah, honestly, like, I was like, how are you being a vampire fucking doll?
Yeah, that's the thing. If you watched it when you were 12, it'd be so much better. But, like, you know, they get so ridiculous they got so ridiculous that became the norm. And then for some reason around 2010, everybody was like, no, I want the realism back. And it's like, no, you don't. Nobody talks about Friday the 13th, the serious movie with like all that gruesomeness and dirty camper shit. Like the I still talk about Jason X though. That one was funny in a gruesome way.
Yeah, I remember hearing that. I think I watched part of it.
Oh no, there's a great scene where they have a like hologram thing, and you know they try to tempt him with the things that are standard for a slasher movie. So like these two holographic supposed like sexy camp counselors come up to Jason and are like, you want to do drugs and have premarital sex? And it flashes away and then it flashes back, and he's got them both in sleeping bags, and one is laying down on the fire, and he's using the other one to beat the one on the fire. He's just distracted with killing for the sake of killing, and it just makes no sense, but it's in its own way ludicrous. It's just gruesome humor, you know. And then for some reason 10 years ago they went away from that, but at least so in this one it's not gruesome humor, it's you know, murderous drama, gruesome drama, and it does have significant character shifts and nuanced reasonings for why they do things. And you know, the thing that people don't realize is in this one, Michael Myers is still suffering the after effects of all the things that happened to him in the last movie. It's sort of saying he is just a man. He's not, he does ignore his pain. You know, there's a scene, and they were like, you know, there's a scene where he gets, you know, she stabs through his hands to pin him down to the table, and he pulls the hand out through the knife. It's crazy shit. But it also was very different. So I can understand why people weren't maybe expecting it. But anyway, that's what we plan to talk about. I didn't know. I was so hoping that you would be like, and that's the thing is with it, you just watched that way too early. It was meant to scare you, but if you're a kid, fuck.
Yeah, it really
it was
didn't.
After happen. Kids.
I can take him. Like, he can handle it. I'm like, no, I can't. But I mean, I didn't know anything better about it. I was like, oh, cool, it's a clown. It's a freaking killer clown. I was
like, well, and if you read the book, he's meant to be like some primordial like shapeshifter deity who feeds off humanity, but is only like, it's like he's getting a fingernail into the aspect of our reality and just fucking around with like that much of his power. And so when these kids were able to hurt him, that's why he was like, ah, fuck this, and went away. But like, yeah. I do like the horror genre somewhat. I grew up reading Stephen King. I loved his books. If you read his modern books, you can see his sensibilities changing. Like, I love how Dr. Sleep had a happy ending, not just for Danny Torrance, but for Jack Torrance too. Anyway.
Yeah, I guess that is our episode for today.
It's a good distance of time. I think they'll have our you know, 10 plus listeners will have fun determining their opinions about what we said.
Yeah. Did you by any chance catch up on watching Andor, or this is a new little Jedi miniseries that came out?
No, not yet. I did see all of Star Wars Visions. That one was pretty cool. It was the first time I really liked those. We're going to let different studios do stories in the same time period, because it just added, like, it was unlike Gotham Knight and the Animatrix. I don't know. I didn't like those two. I liked this one. Visions was good.
No, Visions was. There's another one that they did. I think it gives more to the story of Ahsoka. And it's animated, but it's nice.
Is that the one I keep hearing about, Tales of the Jedi or something like that?
Yeah, that's what it's called. Thank you. I know something of the Jedi. It's not bad. It's short. It was like this episode. It was really good.
I want to see it. I am looking forward to the Ahsoka TV show.
Well, definitely watch this, because it at least gives the background on her. And, I mean, it kind of jumps years, but yeah.
But you know how I like to wait until they're all out so I can just binge.
That might be all that there is right now, because I think that was all of them. All right.
I'll have to check them out.
Yeah, I think.
All right. Well, if you spread the word, maybe we'll get to 15, maybe 20, maybe 25 listeners to each episode.
Let's shoot for 100. But no, please spread the word.
I really want one of those thermometers so we can color it in as it goes along and see it. 100 at the top.
Can't you just take one from a school?
I think once you get to 50 listeners on average, they start letting you throw in like advertisements where you got your name, and that'll get you a portion of whatever someone buys on a website. So that's what I mean. Whenever I say we'd really like the chance to sell you shit you didn't know you didn't want, that's what I'm talking about. Is if we get to 50 of you, we can do that and maybe make, you know, $5 an episode or something.
We don't mind. We just want to be able to spread our ideas and, you know, make people laugh and love the feedback.
More emphasis on the second one. I don't care if you take my ideas anywhere. I don't need to be a leader.
Yeah.
But, you know, making you laugh and just telling you about comics and how they relate to the comic book properties that are coming out. Or just, you know, the properties we want to talk about.
Very much so. All right, until next time.
Good night, and have a pleasant tomorrow.
Oh, so creepy.
I think it's a Weekend Update sign off. What was another one? That's all the news. That was fi Oh, no, you know what? I got a good one. I'm Ron Burgundy, and fuck you, San Diego.